from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is under scrutiny today after a Washington Post story revealed he had two meetings with Russia's ambassador to the United States during the presidential campaign. This runs counter to statements Sessions made during his Senate confirmation hearings. We'll talk with California Congressman Adam Schiff and others about the revelations. Then at 9:30, documents released this week reveal new details about more than 100 cases of sexual harassment and violence investigations at the University of California. It's all coming up on Forum after the news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Attorney General Jeff Sessions met twice with Russia's ambassador to the United States while he was serving as a Trump campaign surrogate. That's according to a story in The Washington Post. During his confirmation hearing in January, Sessions failed to mention the meetings, adding that he knew of no contacts between Trump surrogates and Russians.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it.
Democratic leaders, including Nancy Pelosi, are calling for Sessions to resign. Here she is this morning.
The fact that the Attorney General, the top cop in our country, lied under oath to the American people is grounds for him to resign. He has proved that he is unqualified and unfit to serve in that position of trust.
In a statement last night, Jeff Sessions called the allegation false and said he, quote, never met with any Russian officials to discuss issues of the campaign, end quote. But some leading Republicans this morning, including California Republican Kevin McCarthy, are saying that Sessions should recuse himself from Russia-linked investigations. House Speaker Paul Ryan weighed in just moments ago.
Should he recuse himself? I think he answered that question this morning, which is if he himself is the subject of an investigation, of course he would. But if he's not, I don't see any purpose or reason to doing this.
We're going to go first to Washington and talk with senior North America reporter for the BBC, Anthony Zerker, who joins us in the program here. And good morning, Anthony Zerker.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me begin by sort of asking what you're observing there. I mean, it would seem at this point that we're getting some half-hearted support from Republicans and some strong support from people like Jason Chaffetz for recusal, but not necessarily for resignation. And the Democrats, with Chuck Schumer, for example, and Nancy Pelosi coming out strong for actually resignation.
Yeah, I think you've seen this story move a little bit now over the past day from where it was only Democrats calling for a recusal and then only rather extreme Democrats calling for something like resignation, to now some Republicans and all of the Democrats calling for recusal and more Democrats calling straight up for resignation. I think that was a big tell this morning when you saw people like McCarthy, who's a House Majority Leader, a very senior level person in the House of Representatives, come out and say, yeah, he should probably recuse himself. Chaffetz again. Coming out and calling for a recusal. It's going to be increasingly difficult for Jeff Sessions to not listen and heed these calls and come out and separate himself from the investigation. And so we'll see, but the pressure is definitely mounting.
Well, you have to wonder what the Trump administration is going to do to counteract this, particularly in light of Michael Flynn presenting it, that is, his being fired in the background here.
Yeah, and you have to view all of this in that context, right, in the context of the Flynn resignation, where we're hearing the same sorts of excuses. Well, Sessions forgot or didn't think it was important to say. The defense of Flynn that Trump offered at one point was, well, of course he's going to have contacts with the Russians. That's a standard thing, and he'd want him to. Now you're hearing from Sessions' people and from his spokesperson that it was perfectly normal during the course of Sessions' conduct as a senior member of the Armed Services Committee to have contacts with ambassadors, including the Russian ambassador, and that's no big deal. The big deal and what's becoming an increasing source of consternation and concern for Democrats is that every time Trump's inner circle is asked about contacts with Russia, they tend to obfuscate or to evade, to say, no, we didn't, or no, we haven't. And then later on, you get revelations that, well, actually, there were contacts. And, oh, there were contacts. And in Flynn's case, they were discussing things like sanctions, which he said he didn't discuss. So it's a moving target, and it's a lot of smoke around Trump inner circle relations with Russian officials, and it's not going away. It doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon.
Does it also appear to you, Anthony, that Jeff Sessions has kind of dug in? I mean, it would appear that way to you because he said, when it's appropriate, I'll answer or I'll recuse myself when it's appropriate. In other words, making a distinction between what might have been not disclosed or perjured, according to people like Nancy Pelosi.
Right, right. And he's been parsing the language, and his supporters have been parsing the language that he used during these congressional testimonies, saying he had no communications with Russian officials, but that was in the context of his role as a campaign surrogate. They're going to argue not in his role as a senator. He also said in a written statement that that he didn't discuss issues of the campaign with Russian officials, which is different from not discussing anything with Russian officials. So it seems like he's constructing a defense where he did not perjure himself. He shared the relevant information at that time, and that was perfectly acceptable. He's a member of Donald Trump's inner circle. We have to remember that he and Donald Trump are very tight. He was, as an Alabama senator, the first prominent politician to endorse Donald Trump back when Donald Trump was still considered somewhat of a sideshow during the Republican primary process. He showed up on a stage at a big rally in Alabama attended by tens of thousands of people and put on a Make America Great hat and was considered one of the masterminds behind Donald Trump's immigration policies and served as a foreign policy advisor for Donald Trump throughout the campaign, was an active surrogate throughout the campaign. So he has a history with Donald Trump, and I think Donald Trump recognized that support when he made Jeff Sessions the attorney general, you know, obviously a very prominent position within his administration. So he's dug in, and I think it's going to take a lot, certainly a lot more than what we've seen so far for Donald Trump to turn his back on him for those calls for resignation to have any kind of influence within the Trump administration. I mean, we did see with General Flynn, Michael Flynn, who was also a strong supporter of Trump, also in the inner circle, eventually even those ties and that tightness did not protect him when push came to shove. But you know, I think Jeff Sessions is even closer in and even more important to Donald Trump than Flynn was.
Anthony Zuercher is with us from the nation's capital. He's senior North America reporter for the BBC. And we're going to talk about this up to the half hour mark. And you have an opportunity to talk with us and raise concerns that you might have or questions you might have. There's certainly lines that have already taken place, to put it mildly, in terms of partisan politics here. But as we said earlier, there are Republicans who are suggesting recusal ought to be the appropriate move for Jeff Sessions. He is the top legal officer in the nation. And what are your thoughts about his resigning or recusing himself? His spokesperson, Sarah Erger Flores, said he said nothing misleading about his answers when he was giving testimony. Nancy Pelosi, on the other hand, Congresswoman Pelosi said he lied and he should resign, and that's the end of that from her perspective. Let me invite your calls. You can join us now at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, we welcome your phone calls, and you can join us again toll-free. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Interested to hear what you, our listeners, have to say about this and your opportunity to weigh in now. You can also tweet us. Again, our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or go to our Facebook page. You get into a central question here, Anthony Zuercher, about did he lie under oath or did he simply not disclose? And not disclosure could be seen in a number of ways. We have to go back to the testimony and the way those questions were phrased by Senator Leahy and Senator Franken and the way they were posed to him and the context they were posed. Sort this out for us, if you can.
Well, I think they viewed in the context of everything that was going on when Jeff Sessions was talking to the committee, that there were concerns about Michael Flynn's ties to Russia. There were concerns about the Trump campaign's ties to Russia over the course of all of 2016, Russian meddling in U.S. elections. Jeff Sessions definitely had to be aware of that when he was being asked these questions, and that there were concerns about anyone affiliated with Donald Trump having any kind of contacts with the Russian government. Now, when you look at the exact text of the questions and the way he answered them, I think he can make a case and his supporters can make a case that he wasn't outright lying. Certainly, it wasn't perjuring himself, even though he was under oath. But
forgive me, he can say, I met him as a member of the Armed Services Committee as a senator, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, he was saying that, okay, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, it was perfectly natural to have contacts with ambassadors. There have been other members of congressional committees who have come out and said, yes, well, you know, we talked to a lot of ambassadors as well, and this was perfectly normal, although the Washington Post did contact all 26 other members of the Armed Services Committee when they wrote this article last night, and the 20 who replied said they had never talked to the Russian ambassador. And Claire McCaskill, another member of the committee, had come out and said that in her 10 years on the committee, she had never, in her capacity on the committee, come out and spoken one with a Russian ambassador. So that defense is going to be closely inspected, and his answers are going to be very closely parsed. And the concern, I think, among critics were, even if technically true, and not all of them are conceding that, but even if technically true, they're evasive, and that Jeff Sessions should have known better when being asked about that. He should have been totally upfront and come out and said, well, yes, you know, I have on two occasions spoken with a Russian ambassador, and this was why, because I'm on the Senate committee. Maybe he didn't answer that because he knew that would generate another set of controversy. But
plus, there was public hearing after this. I mean, he could have come out and clarified this within a few weeks' time frame, right?
Right. And some Republicans have come out and said that. Jason Chaffetz again said that he should have clarified. He should still clarify the record on exactly what those contacts were and why he talked with them and what was said. And there was a period of weeks after Jeff Sessions testified during his committee hearings, confirmation hearings, during which this entire Michael Flynn thing blew up and led to his resignation, but before Jeff Sessions' confirmation vote on the floor of the Senate, where he could have come out and said, I want to be clear, I did have two contacts, this is what happened. He didn't do that, and that's part of the reason why this looks even more suspicious to those who are in an investigatory sort of mood.
Well, in all fairness, though, the second contact may have been just a contact in terms of it was a big convention, and it wasn't like going into the Senate office, which is where a lot of the focus is being placed here. We're going to go to your calls and your emails here. Let me just read some comments. Paul writes, this obsession with Russia is pure xenophobia in its ugliest form. There is still no evidence that it was Russia that hacked the DNC. Another listener writes, what a horrible mess. Although I was not happy with Barack Obama's antagonistic policies toward Russia, I do believe the potential Russian interference with the election, possibly shady ties of Vladimir Putin, and any financial ties between Donald Trump and Russia should be thoroughly investigated. And John writes, the United States Attorney General lied about conspiring with an enemy foreign government to influence a U.S. election. This is real life. Let me go to your calls. We go first to Rachel. Rachel, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could explain the order with which these investigations will occur. Is the FBI investigation occurring concurrently with the congressional investigations, and how does that relate to the recusal of Jeff Sessions?
Yeah, we'll go to Anthony Zerker.
Right. Well, the FBI investigation is ongoing. We only found out about it relatively recently, but apparently the FBI and other intelligence agencies had been investigating Trump campaign ties to the Russian government even as far back as October or even earlier. So this is not a new development as far as a law enforcement investigation into possible Russian meddling in the U.S. election and possible ties with the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. It's only a recent development in that now we know about it. As far as congressional inquiries go, congressional hearings and investigations, both the House and the Senate Intelligence Committee have said that they are going to conduct investigations into Russian tampering in the U.S. election. And as part of that, they will look into any possible ties to the Trump campaign, including possibly calling General Michael Flynn to testify. But nothing has happened yet as far as hearings or processes within the committees to advance that. So all of this can happen perfectly possible for it to happen concurrently. The congressional inquiries can go on at the same time that this FBI investigation can go on. They might even – there have been calls by Democrats to form a special committee, a select committee that would be formed specifically to look into this matter, although I haven't heard of any Republicans yet say that this is something that they will support. It would take a majority vote of both houses of Congress in order to create this committee. There's also been calls for an independent counsel investigation, totally separate from the executive and legislative.
Well, Senator Schumer this morning called for an inspector general investigation. He also called for codifying rules that had been set forth after Watergate. And he laid out essentially a schema of three different matters that he felt should be urgent and should be brought to fruition here. But let me bring more of our callers into this discussion. And Andrew, we go to you next. Andrew, welcome. Andrew, are you there?
First of all, if I'm here, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
This is not just an abstract inquiry into contacts with other nations. This is not like were there contacts with Israel or South Africa or India. The context here is that Donald Trump's embrace of Russia and of Vladimir Putin have been bizarre by modern American standards. And leaving aside the question of hacking, what accounts for how far out of the mainstream Donald Trump has been among virtually all politicians in the last number of decades? So my question is, now that all the Republicans seem to be falling in line to protect the contacts with Russia and deflecting questions about contacts with Russia, which may have been contacts with pro-Russian Ukrainians. How many Republicans during the campaign before the inauguration said, yes, we really should have better relations with Russia and we need to reach out? Because if Republicans weren't doing that before the inauguration and now they're sort of saying nothing to see here, then it raises, I think, remarkable questions about what's actually going on in these investigations.
All right. I thank you for those comments, Andrew, and appreciate hearing from you. And let me hear from some more of our listeners. Let me go next to Tony. Tony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm wondering if this is a warning shot by Russia in retaliation to maybe Donald Trump firming his position because of public opinion against Russia, and it was in some way leaked to the press.
You want to comment on that, Anthony Zerber?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that would definitely be something that you'd have to speculate on what Russia's motivations are. I know that there was concern expressed within the Russian state-controlled media when Michael Flynn was dismissed from the Trump administration, and that their view that Donald Trump might be more sympathetic to the Russian government following his election and the early days of his presidency now seems to be diminished somewhat, that they're growing increasingly concerned that Donald Trump may not be as good for Russia as they thought. Now, whether that leads to Russian attempts to knock the president down a peg and to release this information to damage the president, we have no idea at this point.
Interesting question here from Dave. He wants to know if Sessions resigns, can he get a Senate seat back?
No, he would have to run for it again and be elected. There's been a replacement appointed, although they will have a special election. So conceivably, he could run in that special election.
A tweet from Bonnie who says she's curious. Did Sessions ever answer Franken's question about what he would do if there was contact? In the clip, he only says he's not aware of any contacts.
No, I don't think he did. I mean, he said he was, he hadn't heard of anything about that. And he said that, as a surrogate, he'd been a surrogate himself, that he hadn't had any contacts with the Russian government. But he basically washed his hand of it and said he hadn't heard about that and didn't know anything about it. And that was that.
All right, earlier, by the way, I said we were going to be talking with Congressman Adam Schiff this segment, who represents the 28th District in Los Angeles County and is a ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee. Because he is a ranking member of that committee, we did not get him on the air here. But we do have Jerry McNerney, who is a congressman from Pleasanton, a Democrat, and serves on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And Congressman McNerney, welcome to Forum. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be called upon.
Well, I'm going to call upon you to tell us what you think ought to be appropriate action here. Many in your party, Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and so forth, are calling for resignation. You on board?
I am. Certainly should recuse himself at the very least, but if you can't rely on someone to tell you the truth in confirmation hearings, then what's the point of having hearings in the first place? He lied to the committee, and that's a perjury. That's already a pretty serious crime. And he's already pretty biased with regard to the Russian affair, which is bordering on treason. I think this man should resign. Yes.
We're hearing from House Speaker Ryan and a number of Republicans that Democrats are really using this for partisan purposes, just kind of ginning it up, in other words. And a lot of it is sore loser stuff, but a lot of it is also just making mountains out of molehills. Your thoughts, Congressman?
Well, of course, they're going to try and beat back the chorus of disgust and anger, but it's not going to do them any good. You can lie to the people for so long, Michael, but you're going to have to face up to the truth and the facts sooner or later. And I think for their own interest, they should accept that this was illegal and he should resign. They should accept that for their own good.
You are convinced that this was perjury because he was under oath and not necessarily a failing memory or perhaps a difference in what the context was in his mind?
Well, he could have clarified that during the hearings. If you meet with an ambassador, Michael, you remember that occasion. And I don't get to meet my ambassadors maybe as often as a senator does, but it's not just a casual meeting, and it didn't take place that long ago. No, I'm pretty sure, I'm convinced, really, that this was deception.
And what will Democrats do? What are you going to do if he does not recuse himself or refuses to recuse himself and just digs in?
Well, all we can do is speak truth to power, Michael. We have to keep the drumbeat rolling that there's corruption in that White House, that there's collusion or potential collusion with Russia, and that people need to be concerned and people need to be alarmed about what that means for our country.
All right, again, that's Congressman Jerry McNerney, Democrat from Pleasanton, who serves on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, we thank you for joining us, and we also thank Anthony Zerker of the BBC, senior North American reporter. And when we return, we're going to talk about new revelations about sexual misconduct of UC employees between 2013 and 2016, 113 reported incidents. We'll get into that. And what the investigation turned out when we return on Forum. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.